So let's talk some college football with the great Tim Brando of Fox Sports. Tim, we really appreciate your hopping on. Right off the top, how excited are you about the new broadcast relationship between Fox Sports and the Big Ten?
Very. I wouldn't be working in the first month of the season if it weren't for the Big Ten. I've got Purdue and Louisville to open the season this coming, a week from today. So on Saturday the 2nd, Spencer Tillman and Holly Saunders and I will be at Lucas Oil Stadium for Lamar Jackson, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, against Purdue, a team coached by a former great quarterback, Jeff Brohm, at Louisville, under Howard Schnellenberger, just came in from Western Kentucky, the team that had the number one scoring offense in the country last year, trying to rebuild the Boilermakers. So I think the over-under set at 99.5. Take the over.
I'm glad you brought up Lamar Jackson, because it seems like of all of the college football players to not get much hype nationally going into this season, I haven't heard much of anything on Lamar Jackson. You hear Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, Josh Allen of Wyoming. Why is nobody talking about Lamar Jackson, and who do you think the front runner is for Heisman this year?
DJ and Harrison, I think, honestly, discussion on the Heisman before the season starts is almost as foolhardy as discussing the AP and coaches' top 10 preseason polls. You know, it really doesn't matter that much, but we're all starving for anything college football, so we wind up at some point getting to that topic. So I understand it. But that said, I mean, who had Lamar Jackson at the beginning of last year? And then it was all over, right, about seven games into the season. He'd already won it. So there was nothing even Deshaun Watson could do in claiming a national title to wrest it away from him. So I will say this, in terms of the history of the Heisman Trophy, I don't recall a year ever when we had a Heisman Trophy winner coming back where he got less run than Lamar. It absolutely, you're right about that. You haven't heard a word about him. You know, he had a really bad last three games. Quarterback rating was poor. They lost a big lead to their in-state rival, Kentucky. They got manhandled in the bowl game by a really good LSU defense. And I think as a result, with some of the other losses that they had on their roster, and the ACC being so good, okay, it's easy for them to be overlooked. That's one half of it. The other half of it is, you know, a lot of people just don't like pumping up Bobby Petrino's team. I think that's another factor, honestly, because of the way he left Arkansas and how quickly he was able to resuscitate his career. I mean, he's an excellent coach. You know, ask anybody at Arkansas when he was there. You know, he built a top 10 program. But the way he left, the circumstances under which he left, and just his reputation, particularly the way he left the Falcons and all of that, even preceding what happened at Arkansas, he's just not one of the more liked guys out there. I think he's trying. I think he's understanding that he's got to win a few people over. But I don't think he's an exceedingly popular head coach.
Tim Brando joining us here on 103.3 FM, ESPN Fox Sports, play-by-play man. You'll catch him in that Louisville-Purdue game in week one next Saturday. Tim, I want to shift gears here. Obviously, we're located in Dallas. I want to talk about the Big 12 a little bit. We're 3 years into this playoff system. This will be year four. They've only made it once, and Oklahoma got steamrolled a couple of years ago. Getting some love in the preseason polls, which, as you mentioned, don't really mean anything. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, kind of the two teams everybody's eyeing. I personally think there's four, five, maybe six teams that could end up winning this conference. How do you see it playing out?
I don't disagree. I think there are a lot of teams that are being overlooked. But I will say this. Oklahoma State's the best team. They return the most personnel. Mason Rudolph, I think, is a legitimate Heisman candidate. In addition to that, you know, James Washington is probably one of the most explosive big-ticket players in college football. Talk about a guy and a program that gets overlooked. I had Bedlam last year with Spencer Tillman at the end of the season, and it was a rainy, kind of cold and yucky day. Rudolph did not perform well in that game. They had chances, and yet the game was close until a couple of big runs that happened late in the game that broke it open. There's no doubt in my mind that they have the capability, this club, to go a long, long way. Now, because of the championship game, they may have to play Bedlam again. You know, they moved the game schedule-wise to early November, so we don't have a quick turnaround at the last game of the season and then a rematch in the title game if both teams finish 1-2. But I really believe Oklahoma State is the best team in the league. That isn't to say, though, that Oklahoma couldn't beat them one or both times. There's a lot of competition there, to be sure. But some of those playmakers for Baker Mayfield are gone. You know, they got to prove that they've got another D.D. Westbrook there. And those new backs are going to have to prove that they can be as good as the ones that left them and are now in the NFL. So, but to your point, I think that Texas, the cupboard was not left bare. I don't know that Charlie Strong, who thought in year three he would win 10 games, by leaving, I don't know that Tom Herman can win 10, largely because of the schedule and because of the change in offensive philosophy that Shane Buechele is going to have to deal with, and really the adjustment that Tom's going to have to make without a run-pass option quarterback. You know, Buechele is really more of a drop-back, prolific pocket-passing style guy, and that's going to require, I think, some patience on the part of Tom Herman. But listen, they're not the only teams. I mean, the bell cow teams in the conference that need to do well to make the Big 12 more relevant are without a doubt Oklahoma and Texas. But I think Oklahoma State's the best team in the league, and I think teams like Kansas State, like West Virginia, especially with Will Grier, now the transfer from Florida coming into Morgantown, with Dana Holgorsen, those teams, that team's going to be tough. And Kansas State's got a returning veteran team again, with a quarterback that I think if he can stay healthy could take him a long way. So you're right. I think there are a lot of things. And by the way, TCU, you know, they have a tendency to bounce back after subpar seasons. And I think Gary Patterson believes last year was a subpar season. So, yeah, you're right. There's a lot more balance in the league than a lot of people realize or want to predict.
Down here in the Metroplex, certainly the first year coaching jobs that opened up for Lincoln Riley and Tom Herman, those have been very front and center. And Lincoln Riley has almost been an afterthought because it's just been an onslaught, whether it's been nationally, on television, on radio. Tom Herman has been getting all the attention. Why do you think that Riley is getting so much less attention whenever he does have a team that is much more set up to win right now than Tom Herman does?
Because of the address change. You know, Lincoln's been in the league for a long time. The people that have covered the Big 12 know Lincoln, you know, from his days at Tech, and then obviously in the time that he's been the OC for Bob. So, you know, and I think he is in a much better position, at least short-term, than Herman is, because he doesn't have to change his offense, and he doesn't have to adapt to a new quarterback that he doesn't know. I mean, having Baker Mayfield back is huge for Lincoln Riley. But I agree with you in that this is the first time he's going to be a CEO and have to manage, you know, the entire program and have to deal with all of the distractions that come with being a head coach in today's college football. You know, in the past, he hasn't had to do that. What if that secondary and Mike Stoops' defense from a season ago continues to get lit up? How does he handle that? You know, these are all nuances to becoming a head coach that, to this point in Lincoln's young career, he's never faced. Tom Herman's got an advantage in that regard because he's been there, done that. You know, he's managed a program, albeit in the group of five, but Houston was an exceedingly relevant team that played in a lot of big games and won those big games. You know, going back to the bowl in Atlanta against Florida State, and certainly the wins, including the one they got against Oklahoma last year. So I think all of that will help Tom, but I think it's just more about the address change and Herman coming back to Texas, having been in an assistant to Urban Meyer and starting his program at Houston, doing as well as he did. Lincoln is a known commodity, more so than Tom, in terms of the overall picture of college football in the Big 12.
Tim Brando, Fox Sports 1, joining us here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Tim, I want to ask you about the college football playoff as a whole. 3 years into this thing, the first year it seemed like they valued conference champions and specifically conference championship games, as we saw TCU and Baylor both on the outside looking in. Last year, they almost broke their own rule, if you will, by Ohio State getting in over Penn State. Where do you think we are in this process as we go into year four?
I think we're a lot closer to going to six when we get to year six, especially with the crowded world of the Big Ten last year. That was a scary situation for them. And they were very fortunate, I think, that what happened in the playoff was what happened. If Ohio State had moved on and not laid such an egg against Clemson, and Penn State, let's say, for instance, Penn State had held on and won that game with USC, okay, in the Rose Bowl. And Ohio State, that could have really been ugly. It could have really, really been ugly. The Big Ten went belly up in the postseason after having an enormous regular season. The ACC kind of won the day when it came to the postseason, which rightly or wrongly seems to be the new gauge by which greatness for a conference is measured. I don't necessarily agree with it entirely. I think what the Big Ten did in the regular season last year puts them in a dead heat with the ACC for best conference in America, at least based on performance last year. We'll see what happens this season.
Now you say to go to six teams, and I kind of agree with you. I like the idea of six better than eight, because then you're still playing for those two byes as the number one and number two team. Would it be the Power Five conference winners plus an at-large, or would it still just be, you know, the best six that the committee chooses?
No, I think it still should be the best six that the committee chooses. But what you're looking at here, though, are the opportunities for the top two teams to draw byes. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of a cool thing. And it also enables greater access for not just the teams that were in, say, Penn State or Michigan's position last year, all right, but could be in that group of five conversation in the future, where you've got a team, let's say Houston doesn't have all those injuries and they don't lay eggs and lose to Navy and all that. Or let's say, for instance, there's a couple of teams I think that fall into that category this year. South Florida, by the way, funny, we talked about Charlie leaving Texas. He is inheriting a absolute monstrous team at South Florida. I don't know if they're going to lose a game. And the American Athletic Conference, as you guys know, you've covered some of it in the Dallas area. That league is good. I mean, and I think if South Florida has an enormous season, and I think they could, a lot of pressure on Charlie to win, you know, a lot of games, maybe every game this year, with that team that he's inheriting after Willie Taggart left. But more and more, I think people want greater access. And we do everything in college football incrementally. You know, we're very slow to change. Think about it, we would not have had a college football playoff had it not been for the godforsaken rematch between LSU and Alabama in 2011, when Oklahoma State rightfully should have been playing that game. You know, they should have been in that game, and were it not for that tragic accident, and in a Thursday night game of all places, you know, in Ames, Iowa, in the aftermath of the program's mourning, if all that doesn't happen, we could be stuck with the godforsaken BCS still. I mean, we could. But thankfully, we got the playoff. The playoff, I think, is wonderful. But I think that in time, parity, scholarship limitation, and top-heavy conferences like the Big Ten, like the ACC, you know, Clemson and Florida State, and maybe even Miami, are teams that could all go 12-1 or 11-2. The ACC and the Big Ten are both so top-heavy. I think the idea of going to six really makes sense. And every 3 years, there is a clause in the college football playoff contract that allows for the governing body to take a look at changing the format. So keep that in mind as we move forward. After year four, we got five, and then going into year six, if enough things happen and the dominoes fall the right way, we could see some change.
Last one here for Tim Brando. As you said, six teams probably going to be a better idea, but right now we're living in a four-team playoff world. And the preseason rankings, you do see all the usual suspects: Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, USC, Clemson, Penn State, Oklahoma. Do you have any inkling of a team that currently maybe not in the top 10 of the preseason rankings that could make a serious push to make it into the playoff this year?
Well, in my preseason poll, which I put out, gosh, I think in June, and my preseason poll is always about where I pick teams to finish, not where they deserve to start. And I do want to correct the thought from our earlier conversation. As foolhardy as it may seem to discuss preseason polls, when you hear someone say they don't matter at all, that's really not true, because all polls have influence. You know, whether it's Jeff Long running the College Football Playoff Committee, whoever's running the committee and whoever's on the committee is looking at these polls, and it affects them. You know, if you look at the coaches poll and the AP poll, they both have the same 10, not in the same order, but they have the same 10 teams. So it's effectively a starting grid, you know, for the thought process of everyone that's, you know, talking about college football and believes they have some influence. So, you know, Oklahoma State is not in anybody's top 4 or 5. In the major polls, but they are around 9 or 10. I've got them in. I think Oklahoma State's going to get there. They may lose a game, but I think they're going to get there. I see them having some impressive opportunities that will capture the imagination of a lot of people. Plus, I see potential two-loss champions in other leagues. I think the ACC may have a two-loss champion. The Big Ten could have a two-loss champion. Pac-12 as well. If there's a one-loss Big 12 champion this year, and it's either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, then I think they're going to get in.
Hey, Tim, fantastic stuff. We appreciate your insight. We're really looking forward to hearing you on the call of Louisville and Purdue. Thanks for taking some time out for us today.
Thank you, fellas. I look forward to getting back into the Big 12 area. I think I'll be there quite a bit in October. Maybe even that K-State-Texas game on October 7th, which would be a great one. So I look forward to getting into the Lone Star State again soon.
Absolutely. We appreciate your time today. Have a good one.
You bet. Same to you.